First thing I wanted to ask you about, everybody's talking about, let's see the whole Mueller report. And you've come out and said, yes, you believe that also, that we need to see more than the four-page summary from William Barr. What are your thoughts on that? And how fast do you think we might see it?
Well, the Attorney General has said he's going to provide it to Congress in the next couple of weeks. I hope we're going to see the full report. He gave us a four-page summary of what is apparently a more than 300-page report. So I think after the two-year investigation, the public has the right to see the entire report, unless there's something in there that would endanger some individual. So I'm hopeful we're going to see it all. I think, again, we know that the report produced over 30 indictments of Russians, of Americans, of three Russian companies that five of six people have gone to jail already, and that Roger Stone, one of the president's closest advisors, is going to be tried. So I think there's every reason that the people of this country deserve to see what's in the report, The whole report.
Do you think we'll see any other explosive names come out? I mean, it looks like it's pretty much, no collusion. That's what the thing is. But the president was not exonerated. The report specifically in the summary specifically stated that.
I mean, I don't know. I don't have any inside information. I've only seen what has been made public.
Okay.
But again, I think that's why we need to see the whole report.
All right. The other thing which is making news this morning is the Trump administration is doubling down on their threat to shut down the southern border with Mexico. And the president said there's a good likelihood, maybe even a great likelihood, that he would close the border this coming week if Mexico does not stop the unauthorized immigrants from reaching the United States. This, from what I understand, it could be a very, very negative impact economically on this country. But yet there has to be some sort of control on the borders. What are your thoughts on that? And the president could possibly do it. I guess, does he need Congress to do this, or can he do an executive order to do that, do you think?
I don't know the answer to that,
okay,
Mike. I do know that there's over $1 billion of goods that passes across that border every day. So clearly that would have tremendous economic consequences, not just for Texas and California and the southern states along the border, but for much of the country. It's one of our largest trading partners, Mexico. And so we would see a real impact. You know, I was in the Senate in 2013 and 2014, which was the last time we saw this kind of a surge in migrants coming across the border. And the president's approach is very different from former President Obama's. What I remember in those days was the effort to make sure that there was humanitarian relief provided to people coming across seeking asylum. Most of these people have real concerns and face real challenges at home in the three countries where most of them are coming from, Guatemala, El Salvador, and what's the third one? So what they're seeing at home is the threat from gang violence, the threat from drugs, and what the president is talking about in terms of reducing the funding support for those countries is going to make the situation worse, not better.
Right. And I heard millions of jobs would be lost, too, if they closed the border totally about that. Let's talk a little bit about health care, because that's another thing that the president's been talking about. He's been trying to, totally repeal the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare. But there really seems to be nothing in place on the majority party, the Republicans. Let's talk about the healthcare situation. And I know that you've been working very hard on this and trying to put together some sort of idea about healthcare and some healthcare bills. Let's talk about that for a second.
Well, I think doing it in the context of what's going on now is important. Since President Trump took office, 7 million people in this country have lost their health insurance. We've seen health insurance coverage in New Hampshire down as the Affordable Care Act's window to enroll has closed, and those people called navigators who have been helping people enroll there's no funding to support them anymore. So we've seen the number of people with health insurance down. As I've talked to doctors, as I've talked to people, hospitals in the state, what I've heard from people is that they're now seeing people coming back to emergency rooms again because they don't have health insurance.
Right.
What the president did last week was instruct the Justice Department to support the total elimination of the Affordable Care Act, not just the pre-existing conditions provisions that are at risk in that in the lawsuit that's going through the courts in Texas, but the entire bill, which would mean everybody who gets health care through the Affordable Care Act would be without health insurance at some point. So I don't think that's the right approach. I think what we need to do is to ensure that people can get health care when they need it, that they can get covered by health insurance, that if you've had high blood pressure or a heart attack or cancer in your past, you shouldn't be prohibited from getting health insurance, and you shouldn't. They shouldn't be able to charge you more. They shouldn't be able to charge women more and deny women maternity benefits, for example, which is what would happen if the lawsuit that the president supports now is upheld. So what I've been trying to do is to think about what are ways that we can help fix what's not working as well as it should about the Affordable Care Act and make sure that people can get coverage at a price they can afford. So we're doing several things. One is we're restoring those payments that go to insurance companies to help reduce co-pays and out-of-pocket costs for health insurance. It's one of the first things after the Senate voted against repealing the health care law. It's one of the first things the Trump administration did was to cut off the payments that would help people afford health insurance.
Right.
I've also got legislation that would expand eligibility for tax credits so that people, middle-income families who've had trouble affording health care, are able to buy health insurance. And the final piece would be to cap out-of-pocket costs. One of the things that's very upsetting to people is when they go to someone out of their health insurance network, go to the hospital, and they don't realize that they have to pay extra for that. So to cap those costs in a way that would make it affordable for people. Those are thoughts that we've been working on for some time. I think, unfortunately, what we've seen since the effort to repeal the Affordable Care Act was defeated, and there was a real bipartisan attempt to fix some of the pieces that weren't working, that never made it to the floor of the Senate because of the majority leader, Mitch McConnell, refused to allow those bills to go to the floor. So sadly, we have not had a bipartisan effort since then to try and fix what's not working in the health care law.
Right. We're speaking to U.S. Senator Jeanne Shaheen here on News Talk 98.1 at WTSN. She's with us for a few more moments here on News Talk 98.1. You know, talking about some of the things that the president has done and some of the repercussions that we're seeing, that possibly about some of the projects at the Portsmouth Naval Shipyard. Can you talk a little bit about that, on some of the things that the president has threatened, I guess, and how it would affect, if it would affect, some of the projects at the shipyard in Portsmouth?
Well, the unfortunate thing is we don't know the answer to that, Mike, and that's why I and so many other people are concerned about it. What the president's emergency declaration would allow him to do, according to the president, and this is going to be determined by the courts ultimately,
right,
whether he can declare this emergency declaration. But what he wants to do is take the $7 billion plus that he wants for his border wall from projects that Congress has already authorized and appropriated the funding for from military construction projects. Now, four of those projects are at the Portsmouth Naval Shipyard. The Department of Defense released a list that the president had requested of what projects he might be able to take money from to build his wall. And again, those four projects at the shipyard were on that list. Now, three of them are absolutely critical. They're all important, but three are critical to ensuring that we're going to be able to continue to do the work that's scheduled at the shipyard to expand the dry dock. One of the biggest challenges, and we just had a hearing last week before the subcommittee of armed services talking about this, where the undersecretary talked about the fact that the average age of our dry docks at our public shipyards is over 60 years old.
Wow.
He also pointed out that one of the biggest shortages in our Navy is attack submarines. And if we do anything to impact the ability of the Portsmouth Naval Shipyard to address those attack submarines, make sure that we do the maintenance, do the modernization to keep them operating. It's going to affect the national security of this country. So it makes no sense to me that the president would take money from these projects that are critical to ensuring our national security to put them down to build a wall at our southern border.
Yeah, we take for granted that the shipyard's there and provides a lot of money into the economy and employs a lot of people. And we all know what we went through, you know, almost 10 years ago or past 10 years ago when we did the whole Save the Shipyard thing. Is there any possibility that the shipyard would be endangered of closing again? Would there be another BRAC commission again looking at that?
Well, right now there's not a request for another base closure commission. Okay. I would certainly oppose that. But I don't think it's anything we have to worry about in the short term. And one of the things we know about the Portsmouth Naval Shipyard is that it's the number one ranked public shipyard in the country, thanks to the great work of all the men and women who are there, who do the work on time and on budget. They have really been critical to the operation of our nuclear submarine fleet. They've been critical to ensuring that our national security is maintained. So the federal delegation in New Hampshire, in Maine, we are all going to do everything we can to ensure that the money is not taken from the shipyard to build the president's wall.
Yeah. One quick question before we need to let you go. I know we're speaking to U.S. Senator Jeanne Shaheen on the Morning Information Center. I mean, here we are, first in the nation presidential primary, of course, and we've got so many Democrats already, at least 12 or 13 declared candidates, and we could see up to 20, 25 candidates by the time the primary comes our way in February 2020. Well, to you, looking at this as an observer, as a Democrat, as a U.S. Senator representing New Hampshire, what does this say about what's happening in this country with so many Democrats wanting to run for president? Now, obviously, I mean, there are some qualified ones and some that have name recognition. There's others that don't have a lot of name recognition. We always see that all the time. And, of course, after New Hampshire, those candidates will be whittled down maybe in half as they go to South Carolina. But what does that say about the political atmosphere right now or the political climate right now that so many candidates are getting in so early? And you know, many of them are pretty much the same as far as their values and their opinions and their political philosophies. What does that say, do you think, about the Democratic Party?
Well, Mike, I think there's a lot of concern about the direction that this country is headed, about our leadership, about President Trump and what he's doing in the country and whether he's reflecting the values that most people believe are American values. And I think we're seeing a lot of Democrats get in because they're hearing those concerns. And the Democratic Party has a big tent. They're bringing in lots of new people, new ideas, new energy, and I think that's a positive thing. But hopefully people will decide who they want to support, and we'll see one or two people emerge from the primaries in the early New Hampshire, Iowa, the early contests. And so there will be a clear direction for voters and a clear choice for who to support.
Not that it surprises me, and it probably doesn't surprise you, but it's nice to see a lot of women in the race as well.
It's very exciting to see more women in the race and to see the diversity on the Democratic side.
Yeah.
And again, I think that's one of the things that people are excited about. I've been to college campuses, to UNH, to Dartmouth, and I've heard some of the students talking about how excited they are about the candidates who are running. And I think that's a good thing. That's what America's about. This is a diverse country. We want our leaders to reflect that diversity.
All right. Senator Jeanne Shaheen joining me for a few minutes here on WTSN's Morning Information Center. Always good to talk to the senator. Thank you for sharing.
Always nice to be here,
Mike. Nice to see you as well.